Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have an extra special returning guest from Big Grande and You're the Man Now, Dog, and the upcoming film Paranormal Activity Next of Kin. It's Dan Lipper.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, that's cool.
Finally, I have a non-podcast credit.
That's so exciting.
I'm very excited for it to come out. Yes, thank you.
When is that coming out?
October 29th on Paramount Plus.
The spookiest time of year.
The spookiest time of year, arguably 2 days before the spookiest day of the year.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely watch it. I'm always making Anastasia watch scary movies with me.
Oh, really?
I love that. Yeah, I love them, but I don't want to watch them alone.
You need
so
company.
I just show up. Yeah. So we'll add it. We'll put it at the top of our list.
Thank you. If you could both watch it, but
separately,
but like play it on a separate Paramount Plus app.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe don't. Maybe I want it to do poorly so that they'll be like, let's throw it in the theaters.
Mm. Is that what they do?
No, that's never what happens.
It seems unlikely.
We could just like put it on in the background, like while we're doing dishes. And
that
stuff.
Might be. Yeah, keep it on repeat.
Yeah.
So people are like, oh, they really like this. And turn it up during my scenes. Maybe they get those statistics.
Yeah.
Right.
Just, volume has increased 200%.
Yes.
Watching your scene over and over again. They're like,
wow.
Only this part gets the views.
He's testing very well in East
18
Hollywood.
18 to 35.
It is very scary, though. You do want to watch it with a friend, or if you like to be spooked alone, go ahead. But there's some good scares in there.
Wow.
I'm excited.
I do like the Paranormal Activity movies.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I do remember seeing the first one in the movie theater and being very scared just driving by myself home.
Yeah.
<afterwards.
laughs> I was just thinking the other day of how funny it is, the idea that you could get haunted or killed in the same way as the thing you just watched. Like that's what we all believe is going to happen, but the odds of that are so low.
It's true
that it's like, I mean, oh, a ghost just haunted these people, that's going to happen to me now, which is not how it works, I don't think.
Well, that's what you say, but then The Ring,
that's I was gonna say The Ring.
Right.
Yes, that was the one where I was like, no, I watched it, it's gonna happen to me too.
The Ring changed it all.
I'm part of it.
I remember my sister and I watched it, and that night she fell asleep on the couch watching TV and the cable went out. So she woke up to the static.
No.
I just found out that apparently, like, there used to be an end to TV where they would play the American.
Yeah.
The anthem.
Yeah. The national.
I don't remember that.
An end.
TV like, would stop.
It would
playing.
End. They would play the anthem and then there'd be nothing.
And then TV would be done for the night.
Yeah.
Back
Every
when
network.
There was like five channels,
right.
You know, pre-cable or whatever, they just didn't play stuff while people were sleeping. and so you would see the national anthem and then it would be color bars. It would be like the beep color bars kind of thing.
That's crazy.
And so there are a bunch of, I think in Poltergeist or there's a bunch of other scary movies where someone fell asleep watching TV, and then it's like, okay, here's the national anthem, and now
we all have to think about being American for our last thought before bedtime.
Yeah, everybody would stand in their house and take their hat off for 2 minutes right after the Colgate Comedy Hour or whatever.
How did you learn this, Agata?
Natalia told me, our friend Natalia told me, which I mean, I'm the youngest person alive, so of course I don't know. I'm Generation
the youngest
Alpha.
Youngest person alive.
Yeah, I'm Generation Alpha. You guys wouldn't know about that, but...
Oh my gosh. Congrats.
Thank you. It's crazy, though, because I'm a nighttime gal, you know? I'm watching late into the hours of the morning, yeah.
Yeah, what would you have done 40 years ago? Read a book or watch the bars?
Probably watch the bars and stay along. I don't know.
Watch the bars, salute the stars and bars.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably like get breakfast ready for my husband and family for the next morning. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine, especially now with like streaming and stuff. There's always something to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just even imagining back in the day being like turning on the TV and there's five channels and you don't like any of the stuff that's on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What torture that must have been.
You just watch it anyway.
But yeah, you probably don't know better. It's not like you're like, oh, I bet there's better shows that could be made. It's like, these are the things.
Yeah.
Right. They're also like, at a certain point, you know, the shows could start saying bad words. And that was always fun. Like, if you're watching like After Midnight on Comedy Central.
Oh, right.
You can say fuck. You can talk about titties.
All the good stuff.
Yeah. Back in the day, you would turn on the TV, no one would mention titties. The national anthem would come on, and then you would be like, all right, I guess I'm going to sleep horny.
Absolute
I don't know.
Torture. How did people live?
Sleep dissatisfied. I remember it. To me, the marking of when you could cuss on network TV is South Park did the episode where they said shit 100 or whatever times. And that, like, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
But then it opened the floodgates, and now you hear it on every show on cable TV.
Yeah. There's shit everywhere.
Yeah, there's shit everywhere.
It's not special anymore.
No.
Yeah, it really takes it away.
Shit used to be just for us. But going back to scary movies, we just watched this movie called Malignant.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this?
I loved Malignant.
It's so good. We loved it so much.
So good. Like, Gabe, did you see it?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it, Gabriel?
Gabe. He doesn't like scary.
But Andrea loves scary movies. Has she watched it?
Yeah, she watched it, yeah.
Okay. I can never... It's like spiciness. I can't tell what your threshold is. Mm. So it's hard to say this isn't scary. But I would argue that this isn't really a scary movie. It's like a horror movie, but it's not like jump scares, right?
Yeah. It's gory. It's like campy. It's very fun. I loved it.
Loved it.
It was fun. Yeah.
I do like scary movies. I just don't like watching them all the time.
Gabe wasn't going to silently sit by and be called a coward.
I did. I've watched a ton of horror movies and I've loved them.
You never once peed your pants?
I just have to be in the mood.
I have to pee in the mood.
My wife will watch any horror movie at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No matter the quality. So
that's true.
Yeah that's more for like the sick freaks out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gabe has to put his diaper on first. That's why. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like everyone. Yeah. Right?
I watched Malignant and then it ended and the credits came up. And not to spoil anything, but there is a voiceover in a lot of the movie, like a character who you mostly hear their voice. And it was a guy I went to college with. I didn't even realize. And I was so proud and impressed, I guess.
That's nice. So cool.
And then that thing happened where it was like, oh, I should hit him up. And it's like, obviously, I'm being such a loser about like status where it's like, now I'm thinking about him.
Did you call him?
Yeah, I called him. I saw it was like 1 a.m. and I was like, Ray.
Great voice.
Great voice, yeah. Ray. But yeah, it's so, I feel like movies aren't like don't have choices anymore. Like when you watch Netflix originals, not to make a broad stroke, but those movies feel like they're all cut from the same cloth now, and they're all kind of like that. There's I feel empty sometimes when I watch them. Like it was just something they finished quickly, and that movie is so full of specific choices.
Yeah, and it's unique in an interesting way where. It does feel like it kind of pays homage to other stuff, but it's so stylistically, like someone made choices to make it the way it's made.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't rely on jump scares like most movies.
Yeah.
Most scary movies that come out, which I hate that.
Yeah.
Like it's more interesting. It's cool. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it yet.
Highly recommend it.
Can I give you all my movie of the year so far? I would put Malignant up there. Pig. Have you seen Pig?
Oh, no.
No, I want to watch that, though.
I want to see it.
I couldn't recommend it more highly, but I also am, like, stuck because what I liked so much about it is going into it with almost no expectation. Mm-hmm. So I don't want people to go in and be like, someone said it was really good. It better live up to it. But also, I think it was very good.
I've heard a lot of people talking about how great it is.
So it's fine, but everyone should see it.
Yeah, that's what we should say. It's fine.
I kind of, I don't know if it's a movie that can get spoiled necessarily, but it did kind of get spoiled for me a little bit recently.
Pig did?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Just because someone told me what it's about.
Right.
And I wish I didn't know what it was about.
Yeah. I want to go into a movie with almost no knowledge. Like, any knowledge to me is a spoiler.
I agree with that. Like, I often will turn a trailer on, and then like 10 seconds in, I'm like, okay, I've got enough. Like, I have the vibe of what's going on, but I don't want to know all the plot.
Yeah, they tell too much.
Yeah.
Like 3 years ago, do you remember that movie La Llorona that came out?
Yes.
I thought they had come across, and another movie did this, like the perfect kind of trailer. The in theaters trailer was just a scene from the movie. It was like a minute and a half of a really tense scene. And I think that's what trailers should be, is like, hey, this is kind of the vibe. Mm-hmm. So it's not showing you the whole plot.
I like that.
Especially for a genre movie. It was like, okay, I'm sufficiently scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's my rec.
Or I love a trailer where you're just getting like flashes. Like, it's just like showing you like colors and like people's faces, but there's no like plot happening.
Yeah, you just kind of get the general vibe.
That
yeah.
sounds like a psychological exam that you took. It's just shapes and colors and faces.
Well, I'm just, I'm trying to think of what I saw recently. I don't know what movie it was for.
You know, this isn't that, but I remember Anchorman, when Anchorman came out. Mm-hmm. The trailer for Anchorman was just the first like few minutes of the movie.
Really?
And that was they really didn't show anything. So I had no idea what the plot of the movie was, and that was great.
It was just like, I remember her like sitting at the news desk, right?
And it was just the scene with him like doing his like vocal warm up and that sort of thing.
That's right.
Or maybe that's not the first scene of the movie, but just a scene.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then so when I went to go see it,
I think that's the way to go. Surprises. It's like you see that there is a funny scene in it, so you're like, well, there must be more funny scenes.
I like that guy,
but none of the jokes are ruined,
right? Yes, that's important.
So, Pig is one of your top movies. Do you have more
of the year?
Yeah.
I haven't loved a Pig and Malignant. Those are probably my favorite. Polygnant. Let me think of what else. Old was probably like my best in theater movie experience of the year, because it was a whole theater of people realizing they were watching potentially the worst movie they've ever seen all together. And it was like really connective in a way. Where the whole, it was like, unlike most theater experiences, because most of the time, you know, it's communal, but whatever. But Old was like everyone being like, wait a minute, is this bad? Wait, is this really bad?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters too. It was one of the only movies that I watched in theaters this year. And I mean, it's not good. I would never tell anyone, like, you got to see it. It's great. But it was like, I mean, I feel like this, I have the same vibe in all of his movies, which is just like, this is getting too unbelievable.
Yeah. It felt like a fever dream. There's a part of the movie, not to spoil too much, but there's a spoiler's coming up. So fast forward 30 seconds. Uh-oh. If you don't want to hear it. But
they get old.
They get old. But there's just, everybody's freaking out. A bunch of chaotic stuff is happening. And then off camera, someone just goes, the dog's dead. And you never like see the dead dog. It just kind of happened, and it's like in the middle of it all.
Man,
did anyone see Candyman?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I really wanted it to be a theater experience, and then it came out like right when I wasn't comfortable in theaters again. So I'm kind of waiting for like a daytime showing that I think will be empty.
Yeah,
but I anticipate liking it. Is it good? Did you see it?
No, I haven't. I really want to watch it.
Yeah, I want to see it too.
We went to see Quiet Place 2.
Yeah, that was our in theater experience. And it was like, yeah, it was very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, those movies really make you think Krasinski might be smart. Like, because they're both really well directed.
Yeah. Also, I liked Quiet Place too because...
Less of him?
Well, yeah. But also, he, you know, he wrote the second one, but he didn't write the first one. And he took something, like, I felt the first one ended. Like, I kind of was like, mm-hmm. what could they possibly do more, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And then you see it, and it's like, it's a very different story.
Yeah.
But it was good. Like, I enjoyed it a lot. So,
yeah.
And also, it has my, you know, someday boyfriend, Cillian Murphy, in it.
Yeah, baby.
He's a so lovely mysterious. Wife, but... You know, who knows what'll happen.
She could die.
They shot that in Buffalo, where we shot a lot of Paranormal Activity. And so there's, I heard a lot of like stories about it from like the transpo people and people that worked on both movies. But since you brought up Cillian Murphy, one of our drivers was like, who had driven around a lot, was also like, so a friend of mine ran into him on the streets of Buffalo. And was like, hey, I'm a big fan. Could I get a picture? And he was like, well, why have a picture? Like, why don't we just like talk for a little bit? And so he just like talked to this woman for 20 minutes and was like, that's your memory there now. I don't think those were his words, but that was kind of the idea of what he was doing. Yeah.
I mean, if I was him, I would hate it. Like, you just kind of have a 20-minute conversation with every rando.
I kind of think that's better than having... unflattering photos of you all over the place.
Yeah, but that's like 10 seconds. You know, you move on with your day.
Yeah.
Maybe she was hot.
Yeah. I forgot to ask the follow-up question.
That's a good one.
Is your friend hot? Did he want to fuck her? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that would... Yeah, I have a feeling that, like, he wouldn't do that with everyone.
Yeah, maybe. But he is, like, one of those actors that's, like, very artsy feeling.
Yeah.
So he might be like, we're losing connection, you know, as a human race or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I have been obsessed with him for as long as I can remember.
Same. There's
28 days later.
Was that your intro to him?
Yeah.
That was definitely mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So 28 days later was my intro to him. But I saw this movie called Intermission. It's an Irish film. Mm-hmm. A bunch of Irish, like Cole Meany is in it, Colin Farrell's in it, like ton of Irish actors in it, called Intermission. It's so good and so funny. And I remember seeing it, just being like obsessed with it. And like me and my friends would quote it all the time. But then after that year, I would recommend it to people and no one would watch it. And it became a running joke.
Yeah, she brings it up like all the time. I've never watched it. I would, but only when I'm in the mood.
Yeah. And now it's like gone too far, I feel like. We've been friends too long.
Yeah, it's been like 8 years.
I mean, it's so hurtful for your friend to bring you this thing of like, this is really meaningful to me. And to be like, I just don't care enough about you. to believe you.
And now I think even I'm like, is it a little too old? Because it's from like the early 2000s.
Where it'll feel like the datedness of it will take away from the power.
Exactly.
I mean,
so
what do you think the odds are that Agata would like it?
She would love it.
Yeah.
First of all, Colin Farrell... I personally think...
Breakfast, lunch, and fucking dinner.
So if you like his work in his sex film...
I do, yes.
Then you'll love this movie.
I'm on board. Why didn't you mention he was in it?
That's the sell.
But the thing is, I feel like when he does an American accent, his movies are bad. When he does an Irish accent, his movies are good.
Mm.
And in this, he plays an Irish criminal, which is what he should be playing. Okay. And he's so hot and funny in it.
Okay, I'll watch it. I'll watch it. I'll watch it.
You did the wrong sell. That's the issue.
You don't see his dick, though.
Okay, well.
No one's slobbing
no
on his
knob. No movie's perfect. Yeah.
You can put that up on your cell phone, like, just underneath the screen, so you can glance at it if you want
That's true. That's true. So,
I, you know, I don't want to bring up bad memories or anything, but the last time you were on the show, we all made a horrible bet.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But
I'm sorry about that.
Oh no, that was my fault. It's no one's fault. It was all in fun and games.
Yes. I guess me and Dan can take equal blame.
Okay. I'm not letting Gabe off the hook.
I am blameless. But but have you made any other bets?
I lost
since
so
then?
Much money this season.
Oh no.
I was up so much going into the season and I lost close to all of it. I won one nice bet. I bet a Suns game early in the playoffs where I was just like, I'm so confident. I put $100 on it and I made a bunch. The thing with gambling is you convince yourself with one win that you are smart, not lucky. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, every time I lose, it was an accident. But every time I win, it's that I'm smart. And so you keep doing it.
Right.
So that was my big one. But now, yeah, I don't know what are we going to make a bet here today again? Are we going to try to redeem it? Is that the idea?
Agata has sworn off of betting.
Really? From that one bet? Or did you have another one?
It was that one bet. Wow. I felt so guilty for all of you losing your money. Like, I don't care if it's my money.
But we all agreed to do it, you know? You didn't do anything.
Yeah, but I got some glances all from right. Gabe and Anastasia that were like,
no, motherfucker.
No.
So what if even all mad. Three of us were making a bet, you still wouldn't do it?
I was the one who chose what we were betting on, so I felt responsible.
What if you don't get a say in what we're betting on?
I would do it.
You would? Okay, so you haven't, you've sworn off making the decision, but maybe not fully betting.
Yeah, I don't want any like resentment brewing under the surface, okay. You know?
No, I thought it was fun. I mean, yeah, we lost money, but it wasn't that much money, I think is what helps. Yes. Doing like a low-level bets.
Yeah.
Do they have betting on WNBA games?
I'm looking it up right now. They definitely have game bets. I was looking to see if maybe we could find a like who's going to win it all bet, but it looks like they don't have those, at least on the website that I'm on.
Mm. But I'm thinking about maybe I'll just like cash out my 401k and
put it
all on one. What do you guys think?
I think it's a horrible idea.
I mean, how deep is your 401k? How long have you been going with it?
You know, it would piss your dad off.
My dad would hate it.
So if you want to make your dad mad.
I don't know. I haven't checked it in a while, but don't tell my dad. My dad calls me like every day to be like, we'll talk about retirement. It's like, come on. The earth is not going to exist in 20 years.
Our
like,
retirement plan is to have a gun and cash.
The human race has, you know, our days are numbered.
Yeah. We should all just like learn archery or something, you know?
Yeah. We should learn good, like useful skills for when the apocalypse is here. Because we've already got a commune that we've been working on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it will be culty.
Yeah. We're going to start a cult, essentially.
Yeah. And I will be the leader.
Agata is the figurehead. But there's a group of us who are making decisions and get sex kickbacks.
I was going to say, is this going to be like a sex cult, like David Koresh situation where you're like,
I mean, not initially, you know,
that's what they all turn
it all happens. It always happens.
Eventually.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll start off with like, we've got garden. We're all sharing everything. Nice. We're all helping each other.
It'll be the founding idea will be for nature, right? Because we're all scared of, you know, climate change and everything, so it'll be like we're returning back to basics and like giving Mother Earth what she needs or whatever.
Yeah. And we'll do like a lot of ayahuasca and stuff.
Oh, nice. There will be hallucinogens for sure.
Okay,
because that's how you get people.
Right, that's how you hook people into these throwing away their whole lives.
Exactly,
is you make them have a realization on drugs.
Yeah.
My mom grew up on a kibbutz, born and raised.
No way.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so we would visit, you know, every year. So I've got the very little inklings of communism inside of me, of these co-op. And I'll tell you what, in the experiences I've seen, they don't last.
No, we're different.
You're different. All right, great.
Yeah, whatever. It might be a Jim Jones situation, but...
Wow.
But, you know, we'll last eternally in the eye of Mother Nature, of so Mother Gaia.
Who's committed so far to this plan? Just the two of you, or have you gotten more...
Gabe and his wife Andrea are going to be there.
Gabe's like, what?
Our friends Natalia and Mike want to do it. Okay. Tristan. Why, are you interested? We got more spaces. It's going to be in the desert.
No.
All right. Well, you're lost.
I think you'll be into it once you see how cool it is and all the celebs.
Yeah, we will get some celebs. Oh, so
if there's some big names, I'm getting the vibe Killian that Murphy. If things fall apart for me, I could still show up hat in hand and maybe still be welcomed.
Yeah, you could have it as like plan B.
Yeah,
then I'm fine with that.
D-E-F.
I don't know if a desert cult is a good idea during, if you're it's a response to global warming. I would maybe not move to where you can't grow things and it's going to get hotter.
Yeah, maybe we should go to higher ground.
Yeah.
A mountaintop or something.
That's a good name for a cult too. Higher ground.
Higher ground. We'll make coffee.
And DuPont.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the higher part.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
We'll sell coffee and pot, the two things that everyone, you know, the non-believers need.
Yeah, I think you're right about the desert part. We need something more self-sustaining.
Yeah.
That has water.
Yeah.
So do we want to make a bet?
Well, we've got... Do you have any faith in either the Chicago Sky or Minnesota Lynx? Right now, the Lynx are favored in that game. So if you like the Sky, then you get not bad odds on that.
I do like the Sky. I think I actually, in my bracket, I have them winning. Really? Because the only reason why the Sky are in a lower seed is because they had injuries early in the year. And now those injured players are back and their starting lineup is stacked.
Wow.
For the Sky.
Well, I mean, $25 wins you $40 if the Sky win.
Guys. I don't want to decide, but I'll do it.
I'm in. I like this sell. I know nothing about these teams, but
I think the Lynx did well this season and they are seeded higher. But I really think it was only because Candace Parker and Steph Dolson had injuries earlier this year. And so they didn't play a bunch of games.
It's hard to bet against Candace Parker.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm.
She's great from what I've seen, which is very little.
She's amazing. But
I say let's do it.
Okay.
I'm in.
All right. What, $20 a person? 25?
We did 25 last time. 25 let's just do it again.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go. 100 on the Sky.
Wow.
Yes.
And if you win, it's 400?
No.
25 gets you 40.
So 25 gets you 40. So 100 gets 160. Us 165-ish. Yeah. I'm logged in. Yeah. Let me make sure I'm not making the wrong bet here.
Head, obviously.
Me too.
Chicago Can't Sky, money line. Yeah. That's what we like, right? The Sky to win?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Straight up. All right. It's in.
So by the time people hear this episode, they'll know the result of this game.
They'll have heard this whole conversation been screaming like, don't fucking
don't
do it.
Do it.
Stop. You idiots.
These are the same people that had so much faith in the Portland Trailblazers. Is that who we bet on?
No, we bet on the Heat.
The Heat. Yes, the Heat. That's why the Heat were one of those teams that made me so much money and then lost me a bunch after because I had too much faith.
Man.
Yeah.
All right.
Should have abandoned Chip.
I just saw the score to the Mercury game. Are you trying to avoid that?
Oh no! What is it?
The Mercury are winning by 10 with 4 minutes left in the fourth in the second quarter. Sorry.
Nice.
No offense to the Seattle Storm. I think they're great, but I'm from Phoenix. Got to cheer for the Mercury. And you know,
is Taurasi back here?
Oh, good question.
She has been playing this game.
Oh, nice. Wow. Okay.
She's played 10 minutes so far.
Great.
Man, if we win this bet, that's going to be, I feel like that'll feel great. Yeah. I know it will, but especially as like a redemption bet.
Yeah. Right. And then that's all she'll do with her money after this. She'll get so hyped on betting.
Yeah. Then we will start pulling out the 401k.
I don't have it in me to be like, you know, doing it all the time. I just get so anxious.
Yeah.
And just sad every time I lose.
Yeah, it I definitely like started to get a little depressed and had to stop betting because it was like, this sucks to lose this many in a row.
Yeah.
You really
sorry
start losing
we're forcing
faith.
You back into it.
I will jump in anytime.
So let's talk. So as of the day of recording, obviously recording on Sunday because the Mercury storm game is on, but we've only watched the Thursday first round of the WNBA playoffs. So those two games were the Chicago Sky versus the Dallas Wings and the Phoenix Mercury versus the New York Liberty. I watched both games, but man, that Mercury Liberty game was so good.
Yeah.
And Gabe is a big Liberty fan.
I'm sorry, Gabe.
It's okay.
That must have been hard to watch.
It was hard to watch, but it only made me love them more. So I'm hyped for next year.
I also heard a stat that is it the Liberty or is it the Wings? Well, both of those teams have a very low average age on the team.
Yeah.
They're both super young. And I feel like the Liberty is going to, yeah, like next year, they're really going to go wild.
Yeah, I think that they were saying at some point in the game, I learned that information too, that the Liberty was a younger team.
Yeah. So let's.
That's Gabe's team.
Let's talk young about Gabe. Your. Young Gabe. Let's talk about your background with the WNBA at all, if you have one.
Almost non-existent. Yeah, I don't. I've never watched a ton of it. So that's. I feel like if I talk more, I'll be like less embarrassed at the. that fact, but that's just kind of the the reality.
But you're doing it now.
Yeah, I'm doing it now.
So we ran into each other at a party, and you...
Thanks for the invite.
You were invited. You just didn't come. So that's a sincere thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin, for inviting me. I did not go. Sorry.
That was funny. That was the first... That was Kevin, who produces Big Grande's podcast and Hollywood Handbook. Oh, yeah. And it was the first party I've been to that was like a who's who of podcast production.
That is really funny because my friend Andy Neese was also there, and I asked him who all do you think is going to be there, because I was kind of feeling like social anxiety.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to show up, and you know, if I show up before Andy, I'm not going to know anyone. And he was like, it's literally every podcast producer.
Yeah.
And then I was so excited to see you and John too, so it was like, oh great, I do know lots of people in this community.
I had major FOMO.
Did
it
you
was,
yeah,
it was nice. It was I was like you, Anastasia, like a little anxious about, because I've barely done a lot of social stuff with like people I'm super close with.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I was same. Anxious about doing like an outdoor bar night with like potentially a lot of strangers or acquaintances.
Right.
And then it ended up, as these things usually do, it being like a little bit enlivening. And like I left with a lot of energy, and it was fun to chat and catch up with some people.
Yeah.
I had the same issue, which is why I was like, I'm not going.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I also like, I have been very cautious. Like I haven't been around crowds like right. hardly at all. So I just got nervous.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what I'm walking into. But then she was like, it was great. It was fun. And there were so many fun people there.
Yeah. But I get it, because I think what made me end up going was I just was like, I want that feeling again. I want that like excitement for being social again.
Yeah.
And I like Kevin and I liked my friend Andy. So why not? And then I did leave very pumped up too. I was like, I'm going to be so social this year.
How many times have you been out since then?
First of many parties.
That was the last party I've
been to. Yeah, I've seen your Instagram stories. You're at raves all the time now. I'm like, where even is this? These happen?
Oh, man.
What is it's anxiety, so it's not rational. But in your head, what is like the worst case scenario of that type of thing? Other than obviously getting COVID.
Right.
Is it like you'll say something stupid or you'll feel left out, or
kind of both? Yeah. Like saying something stupid
is actually something I do on a regular basis. So that's not that irrational.
Yeah,
you don't.
But I feel like my anxiety comes from like thinking about being in a social situation and I say something to like include myself in the conversation and everyone just looks at me.
That has happened to me. I have been to many parties where, yeah, where I don't know someone and I like start chatting with someone and they like are just like, they're like, no, don't speak to me, which I feel like is maybe an LA thing, but like, yeah, I mean, it's not every time.
Right.
Yeah.
And also I don't really want to talk to those people anyways. And like, this was such a fun group of, I met new people at Kevin's party.
Yeah.
Who were just like immediately, like we had like inside jokes immediately.
Oh,
we
wow.
were
just good like, job.
You know, having fun and vibing. So I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like if somebody talks to me at a party, like even if I have no idea who they are, I'm going to like talk back to them and be nice to them.
Yeah,
but exactly. A lot of people, I think maybe their own social anxiety, yeah. they're like, oh no, a stranger is talking to me and I don't know what to do or say. So I'm just going to be weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel like you get like a frequent brush off or like a silent return to things you say?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say frequent, but the fact that it happens ever is enough for me to be like, oh, this is what's going to happen when I try it the next time.
That gets stuck in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a specific anxiety that keeps you from stuff?
From
social situations?
I think my biggest anxiety is I will end up in a conversation that I don't know how to end. And I will politely talk about nothing with someone else who is also anxiously not know how to end it. And I'll leave feeling like, I think I would have rather just played video games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's definitely happened to me before.
Yeah. That's a big one. And I think I do have this... The UCB green room is a relatively good training ground for like learning how to small talk with people, because you'll be backstage with like all sorts of different people coming and going, friends, acquaintances, people you're just meeting and whatever. And like before a show, you'll have to kill time and whatever. And I think that is where I learned like the value in being secure enough in not having to talk if I don't want to.
Yeah.
And also that, like, if something is important to me or if I find someone else to be interesting, like, if I find their view on the... If I, like, make an effort to find their view on the world to be interesting, then it's hard to miss. You know what I mean? The thing I don't like is this, like, nonstop... It feels like up here, like your forehead. Like, this talking that is just... You're not really saying anything, but words are coming out for 30 minutes back and forth. That I really do not like. And so I've, like... learned how to avoid that for myself to be able to make it through an interaction.
Yeah.
Did that make any sense?
Definitely. Yeah. And yeah, I definitely relate to that. Have been in that situation before.
And also like you talk an hour a week for an audience of people now, like in some sort of way that must have trained you.
For sure. Well, and I think because we both, you know, did improv in the past too. And it's, that does teach you how to like move things along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or end things if you need to. So,
but I also like, I wouldn't describe us as shy at all. Like in a situation, like we're not going to be like,
but that's how I battle silent. My social anxiety. Actually. I know it sounds weird because I think people think of socially anxious people as shy, but how I do it is I try to like, just jump in there and like not overthink it.
Yeah. Just pick one person and talk to them and ask them questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, even when it's like, this needs to end, I need to just not think it, overthink it, and just be like, okay, well, it was nice talking to you. You know, like,
Or like, I'm getting another drink.
I need to pee. Or like, oh, I see my friend. You know, you just like find a reason to get out.
Yeah.
And that's, that takes practice, though.
Yeah. You know?
It's not something that's like
the polite wrap it up signal.
Yeah. I've told this story before, I think on a podcast, but I was at my friend Brad's wedding, and we have his family has a family friend who I also know because I was friends with his son. His name's Lenny, and he's, you know, in his 50s, 60s, whatever. He's like an adult man. And we were chatting at Brad's wedding, kind of this type of small talk thing. And then he just went like, all right, I'm going to go mingle. And he just ended the conversation and left. And I was like, damn, Lenny, I felt a little big timed. And I felt like a little bit like, no, I'm the one that should be ending the conversation here. But it made me feel like, oh, you can just say that. That's right. You can just be like, all right, I am leaving you to go talk to somebody else now. And it's not like a judgment on your existence. It's literally what we came here to do.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we were at this party and we chatted a little bit about basketball, and you said you essentially asked about the WNBA, and I was kind of telling you like who to watch or whatever.
Right.
And then I was like, I need to jump on this and pull you into my podcast and force you to have this conversation on the podcast, because I do think a lot of our listeners don't know where to begin with the WNBA, and they're just not in the habit of watching it. And so they just don't.
Yeah. Well, they're interested, but they don't know where to start.
Yeah. Even as I started the game, I was like half checked out because you don't know the storylines. You don't know which players to root for. Mm-hmm. And then like in this one, when Cunningham came in the third quarter and started like just fucking rocking it, it was like, oh, I'm immediately now rooting for her specifically because of her energy and like style. And the game got exciting and closer. And so I just needed that like hook to be in it.
I think we have a highlight of Cunningham. She like started knocking down threes like crazy in the second half.
Up by one. Cunningham again.
Out to Cunningham in the corner. And then she yells in the face.
Yeah, I love that.
Wow. But the technical foul called on Cunningham for this.
Look at her yelling in Wickham's face. Her whole demeanor was so badass in this game. Once she got on fire, she just was, you could see her like body language. She was just like, I own this court.
Yeah. And even like her hair is that like, I don't know if it's dyed, but it's that like bright platinum. So like there is this just kind of like immediate like center of attention kind of vibe of like, I'm here to take over.
Yeah. And her hair is crazy long too, which I'm always like, how do you play with hair that long and not have it like in a braid or something?
Like whip you in the face.
Yeah. And then they did that. Well, I thought it was, what do you think about them interviewing the players instead of the coaches between quarters?
I kind of love it.
Yeah.
Because in the NBA, they interview the coaches. The coaches very rarely have something interesting to say. They, and a lot of coaches notoriously hate it, like Pop. But here with the WNBA, they'll show snippets of the coach sort of mic'd up in a huddle, but they interview the players during the timeouts or between the quarters. And I think I get so much more into the game that way because you're kind of seeing what's going on in a player's head mid-game.
Yeah. Like hearing her, Cunningham, be like, that's what I'm in the game for. Like, that's what I'm on the team for. I come in for the energy. I come in to like, it was interesting to immediately hear that that was even her perspective of like her role on the team, mm-hmm, which kind of surprised me.
But I kind of feel like they should be getting a break.
I felt that way a little bit too, is like you'd want to be, it's hard not to constantly be like, see it through the lens of the NBA and be comparing and wondering and stuff. And so in my mind, I was like, is it that NBA players have way more power and they can just tell them like, no, we're not going to do interviews. We want a break. And
probably.
And the WNBA players have to kind of like, do whatever they can to be like, no, we are like interesting human stories that we have to get people engaged with. So the players have to do that. Or I don't know. I was just,
I mean, it does seem like the WNBA tries to sell the players so much more because they do want you to get into it.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And, but you'll also see like the LA Sparks, their big selling point is that Derek Fisher is the coach. And mm-hmm, I think that's the entirely wrong way to go about it because I don't give a shit about Derek Fisher, if I'm being honest.
Fuck him.
Yeah, really fuck him. I really don't like
Derek
him.
Derek Fucker.
Yeah, Derek Fucker. That's his name.
Well, it's like, it's such a miss because it's like, okay, so he's the coach. If I am a Derek Fisher fan, what does that do for me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch him. You're not seeing him coach throughout the game. You can't actively learn what that means. So there's no, I don't like, even though I like whatever, Popovich, I'm not turning on a Spurs game to see Popovich.
Right. Yeah. Just watching him yell the whole time with his grumpy face.
Yeah.
So the Mercury were kind of like at a little bit of a disadvantage. Diana Taurasi was out for this game. And even though they had home court advantage for being in a higher seed, they weren't allowed to play in their home court. They were in Grand Canyon University, which sucks.
Yeah. What was the story with that?
I don't know. And I was trying to look it up to see, like, because all they said is their home court is occupied, which it's the same arena where the Suns play.
Mm-hmm.
But that sucks.
Yeah. Talking like, stick resort and casino arena or whatever
it's got a suck. Weird name now. I don't even know what it is.
The Footprint Center.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah.
They just center. Can't stick with one name. I feel like that's been the most named arena in the NBA.
Probably.
I like Talking Stick, but Footprint?
It will always be America West Arena to me because that's what I grew up with. Mm. But oh, you're from Arizona too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, from Tucson.
Yeah.
It looks like Disney on Ice is starting there in a couple days, so maybe they're getting set up for that.
Oh, no wonder. That's why. They got bumped for Disney on Ice.
So pretty much I would say Sophie Cunningham kind of won this game because Diana Taurasi was out. Both Skylar Diggins-Smith and Brittany Griner were kind of like having off games. Even though, I mean, they were doing great, but the Liberty kept coming back and like taking the lead. And so when Sophie Cunningham went off, like that kind of won the game. But at the very end, let's look at this. With 5 seconds to go, Benaija Laney on the Liberty went to hit a three. And let's look at this clip.
Does have a timeout, but they're not going to take it. Laney, are you?
Damn.
So she ties up the game,
what a game.
With 2.7 seconds left.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great shot.
Benaija Laney is so good. And she's a player actually with a great story because she got waived off of two teams.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And with the kind of running story with the WNBAs, there's just not enough teams and not enough spots on teams. So great players will get kicked off of teams and then have these crazy comeback stories because it's like, they're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's her with the Liberty. She's gonna, like, next year with Sabrina Ionescu, Benaija Laney, and their rookie Onyemwere, they're going to just have a very bright future.
Yeah, that stat was so sad that they showed that they were one of the three teams. I think they were the team with the most finals appearances and no wins.
Yep.
So it made you immediately endeared to their story.
Yeah.
But yeah, Laney had... I didn't notice till the end of the game she had 25 points because it was like so, it felt kind of quieter. It was just a lot of like good drives to the basket and like quick points. Like the Cunningham thing was so like fiery and surprising, but hers was kind of like a whole game performance.
Right. Plus, you know, with Cunningham, the whole arena would explode because it's a home game.
Yeah.
And the Mercury actually have really loyal fans. So a lot of fans come out to watch them. But then when Benaija Laney would do this like amazing play, it would just be like quiet in the arena.
Yeah. Too. She had like an incredible, I think it was her that like reverse layup.
Yeah.
That was very cool. But I also watching that clip right after Taurasi is like yelling at Griner. She's like, get up on that three. But I rewatched it and I was like, I think they guarded that about as well as they could. And it was just a really good shot.
Yeah. Also, Taurasi is like such a yeller.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's good because it motivates the rest of the team, you know? But I think like sometimes, you know, she's yelling in the other players' faces and it's like, they're okay. They're, you know, just stay the course.
Yeah.
But that was a close game. It was very fun to watch.
It was really fun. That foul, that was a brutal foul at the end. I would hate to lose that way.
Yeah. Also, the Mercury player that got fouled. I mean, it was so tense because it was tied up. She has two free throws. She misses the first one, but it's like the worst kind of miss where it circles in and then goes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one goes in and everyone went wild. But yeah,
I was doing all this math in my head too because I had DVR'd it. And when the fourth quarter started, there was an hour left in the DVR, which in my mind is like, oh, that's overtime. Yeah. It's not going to be an hour long quarter. And then, so when it got to that point and she started shooting the free throws, the look in her eyes, I was like, oh, she's missing these. She looked, to she me, I don't know her, but her eyes to me looked terrified.
Yeah.
100%. And so when she missed the first, I was like, oh, for sure, overtime.
Yeah. Well, it was an exciting game. And do we have the Mercury score now?
It's okay. Still halftime. 35-32. Okay. Seattle is up.
A comeback.
Wow.
Because the Mercury were up 10 when we checked in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, so
Seattle Storm.
They're good.
They're so good.
That's Sue Bird's team. But one of their star players, Breonna Stewart, is out with an injury. So we'll see what happens. Also, you know, not in the world of the WNBA, there was some fun stuff that happened this week, such as Jordan Clarkson was interviewed by a reporter who didn't know who he was in Utah.
Let's see it.
Mike, now you spell your first and last name.
Spell it. Jordan Clarkson. JORDANCLARKSON.
Oh, did you go to any jazz games?
Yeah, a lot.
What? What? Who is that?
She posted on her Twitter. She was like, oh my God, I think we just interviewed Jordan Clarkson and I didn't know who he was.
Oh, man.
That's so embarrassing for her. Oh, yikes.
And it's a story about the Jazz, too.
Spell your name. That's like the classic, like, oh, I know your name, but spell it.
Jordan Clarkson tweeted, I just am glad I actually spelled it right, laughing emoji.
Okay, we have to see Iman Shumpert on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my God.
It's iconic.
He's so good.
It looks really difficult.
I'm so impressed.
Ugh, I cut off right before he did his like shimmy.
His little body rolls.
Yeah. great job. Great job.
I mean, that fade music video is like the sexiest music video of all time. He doesn't really dance in it, but it made me think like, okay, he's probably going to be a good dancer. Even though the whole video is his wife being a good dancer.
Yeah. And also he's still like in very good shape. So of course he can do those like the footwork.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would be wheezing. I would die.
He makes look easy, but I know that's not easy.
Yeah.
He is he has great personality in the dance.
Yeah.
Because they picked like a very, they like choreographed it in a very, I can't name decades, but it feels like 1920s or something like that. Yeah. He's like owning the personality of it. I can't wait for him. I've never watched Dancing with the Stars, but this is like, am I going to tune in for him now?
I know. I kind of want to watch.
I'll just watch the clips on Twitter.
Yeah, that's probably much smarter.
All right. And we've also got a video of Nikola Jokic talking about his love for horses.
I like the smell of them. I like the, especially the best feeling ever is when you feed them and that sound of how they're eating.
Aww.
In the stable is probably the best sound you can ever hear. So it's just something that I think the horseman can just feel it.
Cute.
He called himself a horseman.
Horseman.
He's a real horse girl kind of guy.
I need to see him riding a horse because
he can't get on it. He has to be in the little carriage behind it.
Yeah, it seems so scary. I had to, no spoilers, but for this Paranormal Activity movie, I had to interact with a horse. Mm. And it was the
horse ghost.
I am terrified. Horse ghost. No spoilers, but it's the original title was Paranormal Activity Horse Ghosts. I find being tall and being on a horse to be so scary because they also had to get a huge horse,
right?
Yeah. Like to fit a tall person.
So you're
he is in the cart behind it. Oh my god!
No, he's too big to be on a horse.
But I bet he could find a giant horse, like a Clydesdale or something.
I thought the whole thing with horses is you're not supposed to be behind them, but I guess if it kicked, it wouldn't.
Well, this is a whole sport called, what is it, Gabe? It's like chariot racing. A chariot horse, yeah. So I don't know why I asked Gabe, but
Gabe knows everything.
But it's
Gabe is editing this on a horse right now. He's engineering the whole thing.
But it's really popular in Europe, but it's weird, and I think it actually causes more accidents because obviously, if the chariot wheel breaks or whatever, you know, that could be bad,
scary. Yeah.
But yeah, I love that he's like, I love the sound of the horse eating.
Yeah, he's so sweet. I read someone had tweeted this op-ed he wrote like in 2016 when he got the, but this year when he got the All-Star, someone tweeted it. And it's just him talking about like growing up in his hometown and how basketball, like the importance of it. And it was just kind of a nice description of like the space and the place and how they would play when they were growing up. And it was very like whimsical and it made me, it was really endearing. And it reminded me, going back to the kibbutz, of like that vibe of like being just kind of having like full free days and just being out on a farm walking around and just doing whatever you wanted. It was very sweet.
Oh,
cute.
That's what we'll sell for our commune.
Yeah.
You should see if Jokic will do it.
Oh, he'd be one of the celebs.
He'd get a stable. All right, let's move on to our next segment. So each week we highlight our favorite comments made by the members of our Cutie Nation Discord. It's our cutie comment of the week.
Lots of claps in that one.
This week's comment is from LinkedIn Bio. This is after the Mercury Liberty game. They said, hope they had barn insurance because that sure was a barn burner.
It was a barn burner.
Yeah. I hope everyone who has a barn has barn insurance, by the way. Any barn can be burned up.
After the Mercury won, they showed LaChina Robinson and Pam Ward, who were calling the game. And the crowd behind them was going bananas. They were like screaming at the players left on the court, like trying to get into the camera, like showing their Mercury shirts and stuff. It was wild.
Amazing.
It must feel like, because it's like not as ubiquitous as the NBA, that you feel like you're like, you, it's what fandom really feels like, is totally. Like you have ownership of this thing that not everybody is like latched onto yet.
Yeah,
like you're, I aware think that's of probably this true. Thing. Yeah.
If you want to be eligible for Cutie Comment of the Week, you can join our Patreon, patreon.com/dunktown, and get access to our Cutie Nation Discord. It's fun. It's great. We have a lot of good jokes in there.
We have a great time.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Dan, for returning back. We love having you here. You can come back anytime you want.
Yeah.
Happily.
Just say the word.
We'll check do a in bet. About another bet. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do a bet every time you're on.
I mean, I don't want to invite myself on too soon, but I feel like we should at least discuss over email a preseason NBA bet that we can follow through the season.
Like
a
that.
Team over under or an MVP or a championship contender.
This is a great idea. Okay,
I'll look at some odds and I'll send them to y'all.
Yeah. Sounds send good. Us options.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you. And thanks to all of our cutie listeners for coming on this journey with us. As always, we love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I am on Twitter at @echo_mint and on Instagram at @agatamonica. Anastasia is on both at @AnastasiaVigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen.
We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Tomingus for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.